It is currently about 15 minutes past 10, and it is time for our What Do You Think program.
Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
And we are ready to begin our program this morning. Our guest today is Dr. Gaston Aloui. He is a physician, and he is with Bay Regional Cardiology and Heart and Vascular Clinic. He also has Bad Axe hours and sees patients locally here. We're going to be talking about heart disease and some of the things you need to know about it. I thank you for taking time with us today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Is there an overall definition of heart disease? There's so many different types out there. Is heart disease the generic, and then you go to the specifics?
Well, heart disease obviously encompasses a wide variety of conditions that can affect the heart. And usually these are things that cause problems, such as whether it is from the blood supply supplying the heart, or it could also be the structure of the heart, the muscle of the heart, the ability of the heart to pump. And you also have sometimes diseases affecting the valves within the heart, affecting the electrical system of the heart, or the lining of the heart with inflammation. And there are different risk factors that can cause these things. And in general, though, whenever you hear about heart disease, we tend to focus on risks of heart attack. And usually one of the major factors behind this is usually the blood vessels supplying the heart, and that's what we tend to focus on. Coronary artery disease, in a sense, that tends to be the major conception of the public as far as the perception of the public, that is, as far as heart disease, the coronary artery disease.
That's the one where you get the bypasses or the stents to try and clear blockages and keep the blood flowing.
That's definitely right. That's definitely right. And that's the one that usually is exacerbated by things like hereditary risk factors that you might have acquired through just by being born to certain parents that have higher risk, for example, or things as far as lifestyle. Habits such as smoking, diet, and lack of exercise, and other conditions like diabetes, and so on.
Now, as I understand it, and I'm not an expert on this, the problems you're talking about with bypasses and stents, these are the vessels that actually supply the blood to the heart, not necessarily the big aortas and that to pump it to the rest of the body.
Definitely. These are the blood vessels that are actually sitting on top of the heart, and they provide the nutrition and the blood and the oxygenation to the heart. So when the heart pumps, it usually pumps blood out of the heart and out to the circulation and to the other organs to perfuse them, to provide the adequate nutrition and the different nutrients that you need as far as oxygenation as well to keep you alive. But also part of that blood goes to the vessels that supply the heart itself, which sit on top of the heart, and we call them the coronary arteries. And these vessels tend to get diseased as well as other vessels throughout your circulation. And whenever you get significant disease of these vessels, it can cause narrowing and obstruction and what we sometimes call sudden heart attacks. Or sometimes these symptoms are not sudden. They can be brought about with manifestations of underlying problems with circulation, such that you might have chest pain, the classic chest pain you hear about, nausea, vomiting, breaking out in sweats, lightheadedness, dizziness, or skipping heartbeats. These are all could be signs or manifestations of heart disease. The classic sensation of a chest pressure, someone like an elephant sitting on your chest, that's usually what people hear about most of the times. However, it's important to recognize that there are other symptoms which can be nonspecific, and especially in women in general, they tend to have different symptoms than men at times, such that sometimes just fatigue, for example, could be a sign of heart attack.
And there are silent ones, aren't there?
Yes, there are, definitely. Specifically, you could see silent heart attacks. Like sometimes when you don't have an acute, for example, when we see non-silent heart attacks from the other endpoint, is when you have, for example, a sudden obstruction and you get chest pains and you can go down and you come into the emergency department and you get revived. However, sometimes you have severe stenosis, like blockages in your vessels, that it causes a tremendous amount of stress on the heart and you have manifestations of chest pain and pressure. However, sometimes you don't get that sensation and you could have a heart attack without knowing it. You might even have other symptoms, and therefore it's thought of as being silent. Yet you might have had skipping heartbeat sensations, you might have felt dizzy, lightheaded, and not really attributed these to your heart, and therefore we might call it as a silent heart attack. Sometimes no symptoms at all. Specifically in the tiny blood vessels supplying the heart, you can have restrictions of blood flow, or if there's any change in blood pressure, sudden drops in blood pressure that can affect the overall pressure in the circulation and to the heart itself.
Now, is this something particular to the vessels around the heart, or do you get this plaque buildup and the damage to the arteries all over? It's just the heart is such an important muscle to keep on going that's where we hear about it?
Actually, as a matter of fact, it's a very good point that you bring up. You definitely see blockages throughout the entire circulation. Anywhere you have blood vessels, they are prone to get plaque buildup, and then they can get significant blockages. For example, with strokes, if you have significant plaquing in your carotids to the blood vessels supplying, these are the blood vessels supply the brain coming out of the aorta and up to the brain. Eventually, if you have plaquing in there, it can cause significant things such as strokes, but the equivalent of that would be blockages in the heart, would be the coronaries causing heart attacks. So any vessel that really supplies any organ, specifically the arteries we speak of, and you tend to find cholesterol deposition and plaquing in any of these vessels, and it can cause problems to the end organ that it's being perfused.
Is that what PAD is about?
Yeah, peripheral arterial disease is definitely also plaquing when you get it in the lower extremity arteries, the arteries supply your legs. And therefore, you might get manifestations such as pain when you walk, which is usually relieved by rest. And what often happens, you might start finding evidence of hair loss on your legs. You don't have enough hair on your legs. And sometimes people, if it's severe enough, they start developing ulcerations on their lower extremities, specifically in their digits or areas where you have low blood supply on the sides of the feet. And these are all signs that something needs to be done about them. We can take a look and we can do examinations, do diagnostic studies. And today's age, nowadays, some of the things that they do, as always before, you could do bypass on the legs as well, or the vessels supplying the legs. And also they're using stenting. They're putting stents to increase the blood supply. And one of the important things to realize is if you have such manifestations in your legs, this could be an indication of plaquing and cholesterol deposition elsewhere. So some people, for example, they might notice that their legs, they're having problems with circulation in their legs, with pain and cold legs, and the things that I described in ulcers. Well, that could be a very serious sign that if you have these symptoms in your legs, you probably also have plaques elsewhere, including the heart and the vessels supplying the brain.
Is this what was commonly known in the past as hardening of the arteries?
Yes, well, hardening of the arteries is something that's often referred to. Part of it is that it's with aging. As you have aging, and also risk factors like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, uncontrolled high blood pressure, that puts persistent stress on the circulation, the vasculature in your body, that tends to change the characteristics of the vessels, the architecture, and they get stiffened, and cholesterol deposition, calcium deposition, and narrowing. And that's pretty much part of the aging process. That's why we try to optimize things as controlling your blood sugars, because high blood sugars in circulation cause damage to the vessels, oxidation, and you get glycation, what we call them glycation products, like depositions within the vessels, and hardens the vessels. And also high blood pressure, you want to minimize the amount of force. Think of it as, like, in a sense, like developing a callus in a vessel. You're constantly rubbing on it hard with high blood pressure. It's going to thicken, it's going to harden. And part of it's also you lose that elasticity of your blood vessels as you go on in time, as you get older.
Is that why, as we get older, more of us tend to seem to get high blood pressure? Is elasticity isn't there any longer?
Well, that's not the actual main reason. That's a component. You see, the hypertension is a different. Comes from different etiologies. Many factors contribute to it, and one of the very important ones is definitely hereditary factors. Hereditary factors being if you've had a family member, mother or father, who's had hypertension, even at times grandparents, you have a predisposition if it's within your genes to have high blood pressure. And the problem with it is that it's known as the silent killer, because you don't really feel symptoms of high blood pressure. And that's one of the major dangers about it, and that's why we have to make sure we control it adequately, actually properly. And the thing is, as you have high blood pressure, it puts stress and inflammation and more deposition in the vessels, and you get further plaquing and progression of compromise to your circulation, to your organs. So many things come in. Other things that can contribute to high blood pressure as well, your dietary habits and activity levels, exercise, tends to improve circulation of vasodilators and brings your pressures down, as well as high salt intake. It's known to retain more water and puts more stress on the heart. With time, it can cause thickening of the heart, and then more pressure and hardening of the vessels. It's a whole cascade of events that goes on.
That thickening of the heart, is that what's called an enlarged heart?
Well, you know, there are two things. Thickening of the heart, usually when we refer to that, we also refer to it in medical terms as hypertrophy. Hmm. There are different types. You have enlargement of the heart. You have thickening of the actual muscle structure of the heart. Just like when you lift weights, for example. If you're lifting weights on a constant basis, what happens? Your muscles get bigger. Same thing with the heart. If the heart has to pump constantly at higher pressures because of your restrictive flow within your vessels due to high blood pressure, there is more pressure that the heart has to work against. It leads to thickening of the muscle of the heart itself. And that, with time, can cause significant problems in the ability to supply the blood within the heart muscle itself, because you got thicker muscle, and you have to supply down to deeper layers. And if you have underlying plaquing and cholesterol deposition and compromise of your blood vessels within the heart, you're not going to be able to supply adequate blood and nutrition and oxygenation to deeper layers of the heart, for example. And that can cause little heart attacks, what we call as small heart attacks that people sometimes refer to, or sometimes sudden ones. And as the heart start having these heart attacks, the muscles start dying off, and then you start developing parts of the heart that are not really functioning well, and the heart starts to weaken, and it dilates with time. It gets bigger, like a balloon. And then once it's dilated, it doesn't have that proper configuration, geometric configuration, to be able to squeeze and provide blood supply to the rest of the body. And you start having blood flowing back, going into your lungs, and you start to feel like you're having a drowning sensation, because pretty much you're not able to pump the blood forward, and most of the liquid's going back into your lungs and drowning you. And we call this usually heart failure by the time you get to that stage. And you start noticing going to the right side of the heart, affecting different parts of your body. You notice it with increasing swelling in your legs. You can also notice increased weight gain, usually weight gain over a period of only a few days. Because of water retention, you're not able to pump the blood forward into your kidneys and be able to urinate it out.
Does this extra stress with high blood pressure and pumping affect the valves? Are they something that can be damaged by this? They seem to look pretty, sensitive when you see pictures of them, and it's like, you're counting on that to keep the blood flowing in the right direction.
Definitely. Whenever you have increased pressure, for example, one of the things, it can put more pressure on the entire vascular system, and that part being the heart and the valves within the heart. When you have stretching of the heart, like we talked about dilation with time, that can affect the ability of the valves to close properly and to keep blood flow regulation in whether in one direction or the other. And therefore you have leaky valves is what they term it, is regurgitation in medical terms, and sometimes to the point where you require surgery and they have to change these valves. Whether they put in a pig's valve or a mechanical valve or cow valve, it depends on your clinical condition and your age and your morbidities.
And you still need to be in a pretty good state of health otherwise to have these types of surgeries, because if you have a lot of underlying other problems, that's going to complicate things.
Definitely. As with any surgery, but this becomes very important from a heart standpoint, because you're actually operating on the heart and you have to be in pretty good condition. And that's why we usually see people, for example, I get many patients sometimes that come to the office that are referred to us that plan on having, whether it's minor procedures or more serious surgeries, even whether it's lung surgery, brain surgery, or organ transplants. You always have to be in good condition. We do a screening. We get the family history. We check your vitals, your blood pressure. We also rule out any significant heart disease. For example, we do stress testing to see if there's any blood supply limitation under stress, which would implicate that you have coronary artery disease and blockages that are restricting blood flow to the heart. And these can cause problems intraoperatively, specifically with fluctuations in blood pressure and fluctuations in fluid shifts as they're doing surgeries. And many times people end up with heart attacks during surgeries, sometimes after. Now, having said that, though, there are times where no matter what we do, some people end up having heart attacks. And our objective, as with research and continuing medical literature, we're trying to minimize these events. So we're trying to maximize these. The best way to do this, in essence, is to start off ahead of time, like to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Always, control your blood pressure, know what it is. It's important to check your blood pressure on a regular basis, even if you don't feel that you have high blood pressure, because, as I said, it's a silent killer. You have to make sure you have baseline things taken care of. Cholesterol, you need to check it, even though if you're skinny and you're not overweight, and these are, you can still have high cholesterol. That's why it's very important to have it checked and follow up with a primary care physician in cardiology, for example, for, in order for us to make sure that at some point in time you do get screened and monitored early on. If you have these problems, we can address them at an earlier time, and overall, down the road, it will reduce your complication risks with surgical procedures and even in life in general, as far as keeping you in a better health for future care.
Has the treatments come a long way? I mean, we used to always think of, you know, if you've got heart disease, you're winding up with open heart surgery. But now there are stents. They can go in through the groin area and go up to the heart and maybe unblock a valve. I've even heard now that they're starting to implant valves kind of that way. Is it coming a long way from what it used to be?
Definitely. We've come a long way, and we still have a long ways to go. One of the things is we've always, you know, in the past, they started doing bypass surgeries. Every time if you had a blockage, if we did, for example, a heart cath, where this is where we inject contrast, go through the groin, we take a catheter up to the heart, we inject contrast into the circulation, and we assess for blockages. And if we see blockages, what used to be done in the past, if they were significant, you would go for bypass surgery. However, nowadays, it depends on the amount of blockages you have and where they're located and the severity of the blockages. Some of them are amenable to other methods of treatment, such as stenting, where you can go in there through the groin, put a balloon, inflate it, and then put a stent, keep the vessel patent. However, if you have underlying problems that would manifest or that would indicate that there will be even more severe progression, and sometimes you might benefit from bypass, we do it that way instead if you have multivessel disease per se. More than two or three vessels with other risk factors, then we could do bypass surgery. So it really depends on the patient.
So it sounds like the diagnostics has gotten a lot better, that you can tell that this blockage is 50%, this one is 75%. It gives you a better idea of how big of a job it's going to be to correct it.
Definitely, definitely. Diagnostics have become more advanced these days. Specifically now we use things such as intravascular ultrasound. We take a very tiny wire, we go into the vessels and into the coronaries, and we can further measure and assess the different characteristics of a plaque, whether it's more of a stable plaque, a calcified plaque, and then what needs to be done about it, how we're going to approach it, whether it needs to be really opened up or not. And it's coming a long way, and we still, as I said, have a long way to go, but definitely we're moving in the right direction.
We're going to take a break and be back in 60 seconds.
Sounds good.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida, a quiet lake in northern Michigan. Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements. IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back, and our guest today on the program is Dr. Gaston Aloui. He is with Bay Regional, and he's a cardiologist, and we're talking about heart disease. And when we're talking about heart disease, a lot of people think of, you know, people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, but we're seeing this coming on a lot earlier now, and even into children.
That's right. That's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest concerns we have these days that we're seeing out there, that heart disease, one of the things you should know about, for example, cholesterol, it's something that starts on in early adolescent life as a child, and it progresses. And the arteries with age, they get stiffer, and you have cholesterol plaquing and deposition. So if you have risk factors from a hereditary standpoint and also from a lifestyle standpoint, like the different types of diets we eat and the levels of activity if we're inactive as a child, for example, these are all things that predispose to altering your metabolism such that you tend to accumulate fats. And one of the concerns is we're seeing a lot of obesity now happening in children. And part of that has to do with the lifestyle and the different diets that are out there. We have lots of foods enriched with fats as well as carbohydrates, which get transformed to fats and stored in the body. And many times people don't realize that it's very important to actually be not only take care of yourself as an adult, take care of your kids, because down the road it will come back and it could really cause problems for them.
Is there something parents should look for? As an adult, you know, you can say, I've got symptoms, but kids often, well, they don't know that this isn't what everybody's feeling or what everybody's going through growing up, and is there something parents should be looking for?
Well, you see, that's the problem, is that young kids, they're still young, they're active, they're healthy, they're running around, they're doing things, and they might not even show any manifestations. As a matter of fact, you don't see the symptoms, and it's something that usually develops as you grow older. Now, I'm not saying that every time you have heart disease as an older adult, it means something you did when you were a child. No. Like we talked about, you have risk factors. However, things that parents should be looking forward to, should be actually looking to, is that making sure that their kids are eating nutritious diets as far as fruits and vegetables, the things that your mother always tells you and grandmother always said. It's very important to make sure that you go by the healthy habits of eating, avoiding consuming significant amounts of fast foods and fatty foods, things of that sort. And one of the important things also, making sure that your kids are active enough. Because nowadays we all know with today's age of technology, many kids sit around playing computer games, just moving their fingers around. But it's really important to get out there and be physically active and run around, do the things that kids usually do, and watch their salt intakes. You know, with some kids it's different than others depending on other medical problems they might have, but also watch their fat intake. Now, I'm not saying don't take them have ice cream. It's, you know, that's important to every kid, but you have to have moderation. Pretty much everything is good in moderation. Too much of anything can potentially hurt you.
Is it important that parents lead by example, because their health is directly going to then be related to their kids' health?
Absolutely, absolutely. Parents should definitely lead by example. And even sometimes other friends can lead other friends by example. Other kids can lead others, show them the ways of doing things. And definitely that's a factor.
Now, if people have concerns, primary physician be the first place to go before seeking a specialist?
Well, if you have concerns, it's always very important to have a primary care physician, because your primary care physician tends to know you quite well. You know, if you've been going to them, they know you quite well. They know your history. They might even know your family if they've been taking care of your family for a while. They know your risk factors. And based on that, they can very well tell where you might end up as far as risk of heart disease and where it might progress to. And they can step in and intervene at the right time with medications as well as a consultation with cardiology, whereby if they think that there's a point where, you know, they want to make sure certain things are not already happening to their patients from a cardiovascular standpoint, or whether further treatments need to be performed. Therefore, they refer them to us and we see them. At times, we do have patients come and see us, but, you know, directly. However, I would really encourage patients to go through their primary care physician, who will also provide us with the information that we will need, since they know the background information on their patients.
Do you find that people get into denial when it comes to their heart? Because that's a, you know, that's a big step, and people really get concerned, and it's sometimes easier just to deny it, that, you know, hey, I'm okay, and then they wait too long.
Definitely. People go into denial. It's always, no, it's not going to happen to me, everyone, every time you feel that way. And specifically, we see it, I'll be honest with you, even in the medical field, many physicians at times, they might be in denial. You know, they think, like, we take care of others at times, and we don't really take good care of ourselves, but that's definitely not what we should be doing. We should be practicing what we preach, and this happens. However, people tend to be in denial, not necessarily just because they are afraid, because they also are not feeling things sometimes. And when they feel little things, they're not sure what these symptoms mean. They don't know how to interpret non-specific and vague symptoms at times. And therefore, oh, it's nothing, it's just major. Maybe I'm a little bit tired today. Well, and then when they start having classic symptoms of chest pain, well, maybe I'm anxious, maybe it's something else. It's always maybe, maybe. However, it may be something dangerous. And that's why it's very important to, if you have questions, just be honest with your doctor and talk to them about it, and that's where they're for. And then if there needs to be any further diagnostic studies or stress testing or follow-up, they can send them to us, to any cardiologist, for example, or send them to wherever they think they need to be seen.
I've heard it even sometimes feels like heartburn.
Definitely. One of the things that, like we said, sometimes heart attacks, they're not classic symptoms of chest pain and pressure and shortness of breath, nausea and vomiting. Sometimes you get non-specific symptoms of, like, it feels like indigestion. You realize that the heart sits in proximity to the upper stomach region, and therefore sometimes there's symptoms coming from the heart, whether it's pain or indigestion, they can be confused. You might not be able to pick on them. We look at multiple risk factors and the overall history of the presentation, how symptoms came about, and your likelihood of having coronary artery disease. And therefore, we take that whole picture into account and decide how we're going to pursue further testing. And many times, people confuse it. They feel heartburn, they think it's heartburn, but actually it could be a heart attack.
And is there any kind of way to know the difference? Because, you know, normally when people get heartburn, they're not thinking of going to the doctor right away. They're thinking of taking some antacid.
Well, many times the picture can be very confusing, and it will be hard to distinguish. However, there are certain things that we as cardiologists tend to look for. If we see a pattern of these symptoms occurring with exertion, for example, when you're putting stress, like you're climbing up stairs or walking faster or running or emotional stress, these could mean that you're having episodes where you might be having heart problems, because usually symptoms of heart disease and ischemia is what we call it, meaning lack of blood supply to the heart and compromise. These usually come about with increased, whether it's physical or emotional stress on the heart, demanding more oxygenation, and you have blockages, you don't feel them. You have blockages, and therefore you don't get the blood supply you need, and therefore you start having these symptoms. So if you're having heartburn on a regular basis, whether it be something with activity that you're noticing, then you might want to start considering the possibility of heart problems. Now, if you're having heartburn after consuming foods, at times that could be a sign that maybe it is a stomach problem. But yet, it can still be a heart problem, because when you digest food, when you take food into your stomach and your intestines, you'll get diversion of blood flow to the gut, and that could put a strain on the heart at times if you have significant blockages, which will cause these manifestations. Now, having said that, you could have the existence of both at the same time. You could have heartburn still. You might actually have true heartburn and still have coronary artery disease and symptoms such as chest pain, or no symptoms from the heart per se, or vague and nonspecific symptoms.
So if you have heartburn more regularly than not, you should be checking it out anyway. You'd probably get on the purple pill or something to take care of that. And then if you find out it's a heart problem, you can go from there too.
Definitely. And that's why it's very important to see your primary care doctor, like I said, because they know your risk factors and they could deduce what needs to be tested and what needs to be done. They can, for example, make sure if you need a scope in your stomach, they can do that. But we always are concerned. We're always concerned the first things, make sure it's not the heart, because the heart can be deadly if we don't deal with it in time, or it can cause serious problems down the road to your overall health.
Is this why when you're having your annual checkup or your visit with your doctor, it's important to tell them about even the little things that are going on, because they could be indicative of bigger things that you think, oh, he doesn't need to know I have heartburn once in a while?
Definitely. That's absolutely true. And many times even fatigue, chronic fatigue that just develops with unexplained reasons. As a matter of fact, that brings another interesting point I want to make sure that I get across. Is sometimes people feel tired all the time, they feel sleepy, they can't concentrate, they snore, and sometimes while they're snoring, their spouse or significant other notices that their breathing is stopping at night, and sometimes patients even wake themselves up snoring, and they realize that they're waking up several times throughout the night, and that's something that's concerning, because it's something that we call obstructive sleep apnea, and it's usually a condition where your muscles in your neck and jaw relax, and it causes airway obstruction, and it causes periods where you have no oxygenation because of lack of airflow while you're sleeping, and all of a sudden your brain sends a stimulus to make you breathe harder and it wakes you up. These things tend to cause significant amount of stress to your heart, to your body, and therefore you might feel chronically fatigued, and you might just attribute it to being tired and overworked. But these are things you have to discuss with your primary care physician and cardiologist and any other physician for that matter, to make sure that you don't have such problems that are causing long-term adverse outcomes in your heart from a blood pressure standpoint, plaquing and heart attacks, and so forth.
It sounds like a good night's sleep is important for your overall health on many different levels.
Absolutely. Good night's sleep is very important. As a matter of fact, there have been studies showing that there tends to be a higher incidence of cardiac problems when you don't get adequate sleeping. And it's very important to do that.
So the problem can be exacerbating the problem because it's giving you the sleep apnea, and then that's making things even worse.
Definitely. Poor sleep is associated, for example, with high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, heart failure, heart attack, stroke, and worsening of control for diabetes and weight problems as well. And therefore, it's very important to get the adequate sleep you need in order for your body to function properly and to heal.
Well, knowing all of that, I probably won't get a good night's sleep tonight worrying about it. But, you do have office hours in Bad Axe. When can people see you locally? Because if they have a problem, they need a specialist, you are available locally.
Yes, definitely. I'm available. Actually, I'm here in Bad Axe, the Huron Medical Center. I'm available Mondays through Fridays. And they can definitely call the office, and we can schedule an appointment as they need. And we will usually set them up with the right pre-testing that they might need prior to seeing me, and we take it from there.
Is this something they should go through their primary physician to do just to make sure their insurance is going to cover it?
Definitely. It's very important to do that because, you know, the last thing you want is someone to be burdened with a bill that could have been avoided, you know, once we do the proper steps to make sure that things will be easier for them down the road from a financial standpoint as well.
It's just another stress they don't need in their life.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you taking time with us today. Anything else we need to know before we have to wrap things up?
Well, really pretty much just like, I guess, listen to your physician and be honest with your physicians and also live a healthy lifestyle. Get the adequate sleep you need, eat well, fruits and vegetables, and avoid high fat contents and food that might contribute to problems, as we've always been told. And be physically active. That's very, very important, being physically active, partaking in a regular exercise routine, whether it be walking, running, swimming, any of these things. And just make sure you get routine follow-ups and checks to keep on top of things to make sure you don't have the silent killers such as hypertension, diabetes, and high cholesterol. And be alert and vigilant about your health and you know, just take good care of yourself and follow up on a regular basis to make sure we're not missing things.
And if you suspect, a heart problem, consult your physician, I would assume, before starting any exercise routine that might be too strenuous for your level at that point?
That's absolutely important. That's very important, and I definitely should, yes.
Okay, well, I appreciate you taking time with us today. And again, how can they get a hold of you? There's a 1-800 number or 877 number they can call?
Yes, actually, there is a number that they can call here. There's an 877-411-2762. That's one of the numbers they can call, and it will connect them to and they can ask about me. And another number also is at the office in Bad Axe. They can call our number. It's 989-269-1560.
And everybody needs a good heart. It's not just for loving, it's for living every day.
That's absolutely right.
Thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Our guest today on the program has been Dr. Ghassan Alwi. He is a physician, a cardiologist, Bay Regional. He does have Bad Axe office hours, so you can see him locally through Huron Medical Center. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up, we will check out all the latest in the news with Jeff Taylor.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jamie Fricke, and for the best in country hits and classics, it's the Thumb's Hottest Country. WLEW.
For country classics and today's hottest hits, keep your radio tuned to the Thumb's Hottest Country. AM 1340.
I don't care if it Achy Breaky Heart. Your love amazes me. There's a tear in my beer. Unanswered prayers. Suspicious minds. When will I be loved? And the truth about men. Emotions run deep on AM 1340 WLEW.
Why'd you call me today? Nothing new to say. You pretend it's just hello, but you know what it does to me to see your number on the phone. Now tell me, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? Are you trying to bring back the tears, just memories? You keep taking me back where I've already been. When we hang up, it's almost like I'm losing you again. Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me? I get so tired of living like this. I don't have the time, neither do my friends, to stay up at night to pull me through and to find things to keep my mind off of you. So now tell me, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? Did you call to say you found someone and I'm who used to be? You keep taking me back where I've already been. If you moved on, why does it feel like I'm losing you again? Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me? Do you want me to say that I'm content, that I'm on the fence, that I wish you would have stayed? Oh, baby, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? To come here and make love tonight, 'cause you're feeling lonely. You keep taking me back where I've already been. We wake up and say goodbye, it's like I'm losing you again. Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want from me?
We were sitting up there on your mama's roof, talking about everything under the moon, with a smell of honeysuckle and your perfume. All I could think about was my next move. Oh, but you were so shy, so was I. Maybe that's why it was so hard to believe when you smiled and said to me, are you gonna kiss me all night? Are we gonna do this or why? I think you know I like you a lot, but you're about to miss your shot. Are you gonna kiss me all night? For that long one after that, and I knew if I wanted this thing to last, sooner or later I'd have to ask for your hand. So I took a chance, bought a wedding band, and got down on one knee. And you smiled and said to me,
your night.